everything done by a Christian in a Christian way for God is holy.
Elizabeth Elliot says, if you dwell on your own feelings about things rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, she says, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, for all of us who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the offering of work and possessions. I've just read a very wise book about child training written by a very wise lady. And she is so strong on the subject of teaching children to work. She says again and again in this book, it is a sin not to work. And I can't help but agree with her. I do believe that God made all of us to work. And I've seen the happiness in little children when they are given real work to do. And I mean little children, 2 years old, 3 years old, when they're given genuine jobs that need to be done, and they're told that this is a job that you can do, and if you don't do it, nobody else in this family is going to do it. And that just gives a child a sense of being needed, a sense of purpose, and just joy and happiness in the process. I can remember giving my little grandson, Jim, the job of taking out all the tacks from the seats of chairs that I was going to recover. And he worked away with his hammer and his screwdriver and just obviously was completely absorbed in the job and enjoyed every second of it. I think he was much happier than sometimes when he's just playing on the floor with cars. Now, let me say something that may startle you. I don't think there is such a thing as Christian work. And what I mean by that is anything from cleaning a sewer to preaching a sermon, if offered to God, is holy. But what is it that makes it holy? It's not the sewer, and it's not the sermon. It's the Christian who does the job. If you insist on calling it Christian work, then be sure that you define it as work that is done by a Christian. But there are a lot of people that would say that cleaning a sewer is not Christian work. Taking care of a baby is not Christian work. It's just work that a Christian has to do. But writing a book, a Christian book, or preaching a sermon, or singing a hymn, that's Christian work. No, I disagree. I believe, and I think I have strong scriptural evidence, that everything done by a Christian in a Christian way for God is holy. When I write books, I don't necessarily write about spiritual topics. I believe that as a writer, my field is the world. My home country, as Flannery O'Connor calls it, my true country as a writer, is everything in the world, everything I see. I've just read an interesting review of E.B. White's wonderful little children's books, Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little. And E.B. White is quoted as having said that all he's trying to say in his writings is, I love the world. But when I, as a Christian writer, write a book, I don't necessarily have to stick to Christian subjects. I have to do my work in a way that glorifies God. I have to offer it to God, but it is not the writing of a book in itself which is Christian work. It is the work of a Christian that is Christian work, done in a Christian way and offered to God. Well, maybe you think I'm splitting hairs and quibbling here, but let's talk about a Christian businessman or a Christian businesswoman. Whether you're the lowest on the corporate totem pole or the chief executive officer, I would hope that if you're a Christian, you would be distinguished from everybody else in the office, not only by conscientious work, but also by graciousness, by simple kindness, by an unassuming manliness, or a modest womanliness, and above everything else, by a readiness to serve. I don't suppose anybody would think in an office nowadays of asking a chief executive officer to go and make the coffee for the board meeting. It would be someone a little bit lower down on the totem pole. But if it happens that there are four men and one woman at the same position on the lower part of the totem pole, and the woman gets asked to make the coffee, in this day and age, she is likely to be offended. She is likely to say, "Why should I make the coffee? Just because I'm a woman?" Well, maybe that's the reason she was asked, just because she was a woman. But if she's a Christian woman, I would hope that she would raise no such objections. Readiness to serve. Christians are people who ought to be able to be called upon to do anything at all, and nothing is beneath us. No form of work in the whole world is beneath us. If we dig ditches, we dig them faithfully, we dig them thoroughly, we dig them well, and we dig them for the glory of God. If we write books and preach sermons, we prepare faithfully, conscientiously, and we do the work to the best of our ability. But the work is meant to be offered to God. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with ambition. Jesus often appealed to ambition. But the nature of those ambitions makes a very big difference. Jesus said, "He that would be chief among you must be servant of all," even if that means serving coffee instead of serving on the committee that you were asked to join. A Christian is the sort of person who can be asked to do whatever needs to be done without retorting, "That's not my job." Somebody is bound to remind me that you can get in trouble with the unions this way, and I know what you mean, but what I'm trying to get across is that Christians are available. What is our attitude? That's another great test. Are we doing our work in a Christian way with a good attitude or a bad one? It's very common nowadays to hate work, and I think that this is an infection that we get from other people. Parents sometimes hate their jobs, complain about their jobs, come home groaning and moaning and flopping into a chair as though they've been completely done in by the work of the day, and this attitude rubs off on their children. The children come home from school moaning and groaning and mumbling and flopping into a chair and not wanting to pick themselves up and do the work that they're asked to do. The Bible says, do all you have to do without grumbling or complaining. What kind of an example do you set for your children? Are we looking for personal fulfillment in our work? My husband and I had lunch with a woman who was working for a Christian organization, and she was very high up on the totem pole, and we were quite surprised when she told us at lunch that she was looking for another job. When we questioned her, she said, "Well, you know, there really isn't much more upward mobility for me in this position." "Upward mobility," I said, "but don't they need you here in this office?" And she shrugged and said, "Well, maybe they do," but she said, "I think I can do better." Are we looking for personal fulfillment? Are we willing to serve where we're needed rather than where we think we might find most prestige or most self-fulfillment? Are we trying to enhance our personal image, glorify ourselves? A Christian sees work as a privilege. In Titus 3, work is referred to as honorable and honest. Nothing was beneath Jesus. in the line of work. He was willing to wash feet. A Christian sees work not only as a privilege, but as a gift. How often do you thank God for your work? Thank Him that you have work to do. Thank Him for the strength to do it. His gifts and callings are not up for grabs. It's God who gives us the work that we have to do. We have a prayer that's usually the closing prayer in our church services. And now, Lord, send us out to do the work that Thou hast given us to do, to love and serve Thee with gladness and singleness of heart. Shall I repeat that prayer? Maybe you would want to use that for your prayer. Send us out, Lord, to do the work that Thou hast given us to do, to love and serve Thee with gladness and singleness of heart. And if we're loving and serving Him with gladness and singleness of heart, I think even if the job is distasteful, we're going to find it joyful. I think there are three ingredients for happiness. One, something to do. Two, someone to love. And three, something to look forward to. As a Christian, I have all of those. Something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.